took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome, this is Pastor David, and I'm also with...
Pastor Barry.
Yes, and with Glorious Day.
Hello.
Oh, man, Glorious Day. That Glorious Day is the day that Jesus returns. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly when, but we all kind of think it's not going to be a whole long time. And that's why we're trying to say things to you to help build you up, get you focused on what's important, to get you stronger.
That's right.
For that coming day. So that's why we're doing this. And before I do anything else, I want to say we do encourage you to contact us, and the best way is an email address.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, you may want to write it down, and I'll give you 4 seconds. No, it's not very generous of me. I'll give you a couple more seconds to write this down. It is this. It's Glorious Day Radio. At outlook.com. That's Glorious Day Radio at outlook.com. And you say, well, what am I going to do with that? Well, you can tell us what you like, what you don't like. You can be as, I mean, you know, we're big boys. We can take criticism.
Sure. I won't cry on the air.
And we have a good brother who does write to us, who listens to our program, and he's helped us out a lot. He's pinpointed some things that...
Thank you, Brother Tim.
Thank you, Brother Tim. I really do appreciate it. Honestly, I'm not saying this sarcastically. He pointed out one senior moment that I had two or three programs ago where I was listing the fivefold ministries of the church, and I forgot one. I just couldn't come up with it. Now, any other time, if you said, what are the fivefold ministries of the church? I'd have listed them, very rapidly, but it just happened at the end of a long day when we were recording. But at any rate, we want to hear from you, whatever mm-hmm. you've got to say, and we will respond. And so that's, again, Glorious Day Radio at outlook.com. No spaces between the letters, lowercase. You'll be fine. Tonight, we're following really from, we talked about the fivefold ministries of the church as they're listed in the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And then last week, we also then picked up the two last verses of that scripture, which is speaking the truth in love. That was the theme mm-hmm. of last week, what that means. And again, when 27 minutes and a few seconds, you're probably going to notice that we don't cover all the ground you'd like us to.
We'd like to.
Yeah.
It's not physically possible to speak that quickly without your lips catching on fire.
Yeah, right. And we can't throw water around in the studio because we'll start electrical fire. So there you go. But so in light of that, this particular... program is dealing with the next chapter, which is the fifth chapter of Ephesians, and the theme of that is walking in love. Remember last week we talked about speaking the truth in love,
mm-hmm.
and when Paul talks about walking in love, it's really living your life as a Christian in that context, and there's a considerable number of verses that my brother Barry is going to read to you, so you might want to grab a Bible. And while Barry is drawing in enough lung air, because he was a respiratory therapist at one time, he knows how to do that. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 16. So there's a lot of reading there. We're going to let the Spirit help us to mine the important jewels that come out of that scripture. Brother, would you...
Yes, you've been waxing eloquently tonight.
I have, yes.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. The word of the Lord, David.
Amen. Now again, that's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. These are critical words, and they're critical for every age of the church, certainly, because the human condition hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't.
In all those times. And so what you're hearing when Barry wrote about, you know, basically sin, because all immorality is sinful, especially in today's time, we see a lot of sexual immorality in the church as well as outside of it. Unfortunately, it should remain outside the church. But, you know, many churches have allowed the culture to come in, and, you know, so certain things have become okay.
Right. A little more of that shaving off of the rough edges. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, someone just told me, a younger person, by the way, teenager, that young people like him would rather watch a sermon than hear a sermon. And I asked him what he meant by that. What he said was, we're watching the way Christians actually behave like Christians in different situations instead of talking about it. And I really like that, because we are not of this world. We're not.
No.
And as Paul said, we're a peculiar people. We are, because compared to the rest of the world, you know, I'm talking about the secular world, some of the things we do as Christians doesn't make sense to them. You know, they think we're goody-goody and all that, but then when the rubber meets the road and we're standing there and with tears in our eyes because one of our family members was shot and killed, and the reporter puts the microphone in the Christian's face and they say, "I forgive the shooter, and I'll pray for him or her."
Yeah.
The world scratches their head. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And then those who are in the periphery, who are thinking of becoming one of those Christian folks, they'll say, "Wow, he's living it.
Boy's walking in love.
He's walking in love. He's living it out."
Yeah.
It's not just words.
And that applies in the way the scripture develops, as Paul lists several areas of sinful behavior, morality of various types. Is that, number one, the church should be seen not doing what the world is doing. And so if those who are Christians out in the world should not be participating in those activities.
Right.
Because we are representing Christ and his the body of Christ out there. But also to do that, to walk in love, in the way that, again, we talked last week about truth, love and truth together, make that which builds the church and builds the believer, also builds the testimony that we're supposed to offer, is that when to be seen as being people who are willing to be empowered by the Spirit to live that kind of a loving, truthful life, without saying anything sometimes, the contrast alone points out, you know, where God is working. You know, the contrast, for instance, especially with what Paul's talking about, you know, it's pretty blatant. You know, I'll tell you a little story.
Okay.
one time back in 1973, and my wife and I had decided that we were going to, we had never been to New Orleans.
Mm.
Heard a lot about it. Of course, unfortunately, you know, we were, we had yet to meet Christ.
Okay.
At that point. That would be 3 years later. It may have been later, but after our experience in New Orleans, I think God advanced. No, I don't know about that. But, and so we jumped in our little 1973 Pinto station wagon.
You drove a Pinto?
we bought a new one just for the trip. I mean, because of the trip.
Yeah.
Because we're going to camp along the way. And by the way, just as an aside, I would say God allowed us to camp a couple of times on the way to save money, right?
Mm-hmm.
To find out we're really not campers. And I have nothing against camping. If you love it, my daughter and her son, her husband, too. Yes, she doesn't have a brother, unfortunately. But my daughter and her husband really do enjoy the outdoors, do a lot of camping, hiking, fishing, and I am so grateful that they enjoy that. But I found out that is not something I enjoy, personally.
Mm, right.
And at any rate, back to the subject at hand. So we got to New Orleans, and we stayed at a motel downtown, so we could walk to the, you know, the French Quarter.
Right.
And Bourbon Street and all that, places we'd heard about. And, you know, we were still, you know, pretty much in the world, you know, but not worldly. We've both been sheltered.
Yeah.
Growing up, you know, when we came from Central Florida, where not a whole lot of those things were going on much, at least places we didn't go. But walking down Bourbon, or we took a tour, and we got to all the hot spots, right?
Sure.
And in all the clubs, you know, the, I mean, I will say back then, I mean, the nudity and just the
debauchery.
The debauchery, yes. Mm. What a great word. That covers everything else. Debauchery, pretty much. And I have to say, now I was a, you know, 23-year-old male. But at the end of that first day, I was personally appalled.
Mm-hmm.
I had never honestly experienced a situation where all of that stuff was available in one place.
It's called Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, man. And, you know, for the rest of the time we were there, we did other things.
Right.
We both, that was just not working for us. And we weren't really in Christ then. But mm-hmm. I think the Spirit of God was showing us the difference. What that life, this is the world, this is what Paul is talking about with immorality, impurity, all those things that some people want to do all the time, I think. And they think if you start preaching against it, oh, you don't want me to have any fun. Well, let me tell you something. My impression, oh, none of those people were having any fun.
No.
No.
They were mired in sin.
They were mired. They were embedded, even imprisoned in it.
Yeah.
You could tell in their faces, like the shows and everything in, mm-hmm. the, in the clubs, that I couldn't see anybody was really having any fun. And it was a later show we go to, and you could see that their faces were just telling a different story.
Sure.
And I didn't realize until later, you know, just how the work of depravity on the human spirit is so destructive.
Well, you know, I have to give you some credit here, David. That was B.C., before Christ, mm-hmm. and yet the Holy Spirit was still tugging at your heart.
Yeah, he was.
You know, about 4 years ago, my company sent me to New Orleans to a chaplain conference in New Orleans. Never been there. And for all the places in the United States to have several hundred pastors, ministers, chaplains, I always wonder why they picked New Orleans, because all the places, Sin City. So I went to the conference and stayed at the hotel and went to the conference, and I was there for a good four nights. And I went to the original Popeye's Chicken.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yes,
yeah,
there. Went to original Popeye's, and then I went to church at St. Louis Cathedral. Very famous cathedral there. Been there since before the Civil War.
Ah.
And my boss called me, and she called up and said, well, what are you doing? It's New Orleans. And I said, excellent conference. And I went to the original Popeye's Chicken, and the phone got quiet. And she said, what else did you do? Did you hit all the clubs? And I said, no, but I went to St. Louis Cathedral. Oh, so you had chicken and you went to church? And I said, yeah. And she said, oh, yeah, you're a chaplain.
Yeah, but what a great teaching.
It was.
Barry.
Yeah, I had no interest in that stuff. Now, yeah. Back in 73, I'm going to make you feel old now, David, I was in 12th grade. And but, you know, I think I would have,
yeah.
You know, I was always a fairly sensitive kid, and I think I would have picked up in the same vibes you did.
Yeah.
You know, it's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
And by the way, the town needs a good scrubbing, but that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, I hear you. Spiritual scrubbing.
Yeah,
you know,
and a little bleach and peroxide here and there. Yeah,
I mean, rent a fleet of crop dusters, fill their tanks with holy oil, have them fly over the city.
Good idea.
You know? I mean, that's I thought about that.
But now, you know, when I read this, I've read this many times, but when you read this, it sounds. I mean, your eyebrow goes up because it's just so, it's in your face,
right?
You know, all these different. Sins and all this different egregious behavior and disobedience to Christ it's in your face, but it's like that for a reason.
Yeah,
this particular letter I think shook up some people back in the day.
Oh yeah,
I think when they got this from Paul, they said, "Oh boy, he's on to what's going on here."
Yeah,
he's not asking us about the weather and the traffic, you know, and he had to be direct and blunt, if you will.
And as a walker in love, you see, and Paul set the pace.
Mm-hmm.
And his letter was received in the church and by many people. And of course, we know others read it.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for many, I know it turned them around because it caught their attention. But
sure.
This is, again, what speaking the truth in love is all about. The truth is we're all sinners. The truth is that we are fallible human beings,
mm-hmm.
That Jesus came to save by dying on the cross as a sacrifice for sin, so that when we receive Jesus, he takes us into himself. We then can have experience as life in Christ, where God the Father looks upon us and sees Jesus, his Son, instead of us alone with our sin.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't mean we stop sinning, but it means that, you know, we have the opportunity to repent. And throughout our lives, like we talked last time about King David and his repentance because of his immorality with Bathsheba. But this is the thing is, you know, the truth is always true. And so why does God have people with the passion like Paul and I think you and I, Barry, and so many other Christians who walk in truth? Well, if you go to verse 6 of this reading from Ephesians, says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And that points right to when we talk about
that's
the
right.
truth, Barry.
That's right.
In love, the thing is, here's how we translate it, is I am a believer. Listener, I don't know who you are, what's going on in your life, you're a believer or not. But God loves you. He loves you. He loves you in a way you'll never understand, with an intensity that you can't comprehend in this life. But if you recognize that he went to the cross for you, that in a way defines or reveals to you something of the intensity and passion of God's love. He does not want you to be lost, your soul to be lost, and not to be in heaven with him when Jesus comes again. At the end of time, and there is coming to be, God has planned this, an end of time. And God has loved all of the people he has made.
Mm-hmm.
He does not love the sin we do. And so he wants to save you. That's the reason we need rescuing and why Jesus came to rescue us in that particular way.
That's right.
And so with those of us who are in the Spirit and we are given this, and we're not better because of that, we're different.
Mm-hmm.
So we transform, but we're just human beings who love Jesus and know and have him in our hearts. And he is the one passionately empowering us to carry the truth in love to you and say, look, if you don't turn to Christ, if you don't give your life to him, then you're giving your life to the prince of this world.
To darkness.
To darkness, and he will take you with him when, at the end of time, he is imprisoned forever in hell. You're going to be with him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to say, if there's any upside to it, is, well, I'm really not going to die. I'm going to live forever. Okay, that part is true. But the part you need to pay attention to is, mm-hmm. is in what state of spiritual being are you going to be?
Meditate
on that, because there are only two. There's heaven and there's hell. That's what the scriptures talk about. You want to go and study them yourselves, you're welcome to do it. If you have any, if you're really courageous, you can go into a place quietly by yourself and ask God, study the mind without even using words so someone doesn't hear you and think you're maybe being religious. But ask God, is all this true?
Mm-hmm.
Is what these two old characters are talking about on the air, is that true? Is this business in the Bible true? Now, I trust God will tell you, and you will know in a way that it is God, who you can't ignore,
mm-hmm.
that it's true, and then you change your life. We want that because we love you because God loves you.
And this is not, my dear friends, this is not easy to do.
No.
Okay, picture yourself at a party. It's a barbecue, maybe 100 folks there, maybe even some live music. That's always fun. Open bar, chicken smells great, all kinds of things going on. It's getting a little wild, a little dicey. So you decide to stand up, open your Bible, and you read this to them.
Mm.
Everything that we've read to you tonight, you read this out loud. Now, they're probably going to ask you to leave the party.
Yeah.
There'll be a few people that will come up with some very creative names for you. And then you leave. However, that the Word of God is powerful.
Amen.
And there are going to be souls in that crowd that think, you know what? I wish I had the courage to say that.
Yeah.
Or he's talking to me.
Yeah.
God's talking to me tonight. They'll put down the beer, hopefully sober up, and go home and repent. So don't think that you're set up to fail. You're set up to succeed. God always equips you.
Amen.
And that's why we have this. It's really, it's on us to man up, stand up, and declare the word of God in any situation.
Yeah.
You know, look what Paul did. He was the Energizer Bunny. He had been beaten, put in chains. I mean, he was not invited to any of the fancy parties, I'm sure, because he was continuously speaking the word of God, not his own words. He wasn't making things up.
No.
He was representing God.
Amen.
In every situation. And to wrap all this up with a pretty bow is, you know, I'm declaring right now that if you call yourself a Christian and you truly love your brother man, you know, you love each other as Christ loved us, then you're going to stand up and do this in every situation.
As the Spirit leads, and I think that's, you know, some people are saying, well, when do I know how to do this? You know, okay, I want to do it, but
I don't know what
afraid
to say. Yeah.
Well, you know, God will, to be honest, you stand in the line of every prophet who has reported their first encounter with God. Moses, Amos, Jeremiah, and the others, they all started to talk their way out of it.
Right? I always think about Moses.
Have
you heard my brother Aaron? Now that guy can talk.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. He was, but I don't know how to talk. I'm like a child.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah said the same thing. He says, I don't know how to do this. I can't speak, you know. Well, but you see, God will call you to do something, and then you're looking at your own power, right?
Right.
You know that's not much. But God's going to give you his power.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time you do that and God comes through, and then you feel, oh, wow, that was cool.
Yeah.
I did that. I'm safe. I walked away alive, you know. not that, I have to tell you, not that every Christian has walked away alive from a testimony.
That's true.
But they're numbered among the martyrs, and, you know, that's a pretty powerful thing, too.
That goes on to this day, David.
It does go on to this day.
There are still parts of this wonderful earth where if you stand up and you declare Christ, you'll be arrested.
Yeah.
And you disappear.
I mean, I'm reading of pastors in Canada who are being arrested for preaching the gospel.
Wow.
You know, that's like over the border.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, this happening there. In the UK, there's some arrests for the same basic thing. You're out there in public preaching the gospel, talking to people about Jesus. Or maybe you're also going into, like we have done, without problem, without question, because we have to sometimes identify some of the issues, the sins in our country, and name them. But over there, you know, they're so flinching about, you know, not offending anybody. But here's the bottom line. If you're walking in love and in the truth of God, yes, what God tells you to do is going to be offensive to somebody because you're talking about a sin that they enjoy and that has become a part of their identity. And God wants them to hear that he can and will deliver them. In fact, they must be delivered if they're going to have an eternal life with God.
Amen.
And he wants them to turn to him and let that process begin.
Jesus warned us about you will be persecuted.
Yep.
If they hate me, they're going to hate you.
Yep. But and that's the thing, is they're really upset with Jesus because he gave, those are his words.
These are his words.
You know.
They don't want to hear it.
And when you're doing it in love and you're not just beating people over the head with truth without love, you're going to see tremendous advances in the kingdom.
Sure.
People are going to come to Christ. I mean, there have been many, many. I have time for a brief, okay, a brief quickie here.
Go,
story.
Go, David, go.
Okay. As many of you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. In fact, I'm going to say I'm a delivered alcoholic because I really, from the first moment that prayer was offered for me in that light, I knew the Spirit was involved in it. I woke up the next day without any desire to drink at all. I mean, alcohol. And
wonderful.
So since then, my ministry has been expanded to reaching out, speaking the truth in love to alcoholics. And I have then led by the Spirit to speak to many people, some of them on the street coming to me, some of them maybe in the church, you know, years ago. This was coming up on 19 years sober.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. But
and he looks great.
He does. Well, yeah. Thanks. As I always say, the light in here is poor, but it's not really. But the point is that I have been able to speak the truth in love now and with particular acuity to an alcoholic, someone that I know is just like I used to be. And to speak the truth, and I can pinpoint what alcoholism is doing to them, or even drug abuse, you know, the same thing, and say to you, look, God can deliver you. You believe that you can't live without alcohol and or drugs, but I'm telling you that I'm a person that God delivered me from that, and I'm having a better life now than I used to have.
Sure.
And you can have that too. In fact, you need it because you're killing yourself, and God wants to save you. And that's kind of the essence of it. People have come to Christ, and even because I was a Christian when I was delivered. So, I mean, I don't know. There are other Christians still struggling with their worldliness.
Thank you for sharing that, David.
Well, I tried. God said, don't be anonymous because I want to use you to help other people, you know, get healed. And
Very good.
I am not anonymous.
Wonderful.
So it's good I can pronounce the word. Was there a day when I was drinking and couldn't pronounce the word anonymous? Probably at the end of the day. But no, and I mean that people to understand. That's
right.
What it's all about. Walking in love is bringing people back from the brink, that God doesn't want them to fall over the edge. And you may be that one person as they are perched on the brink, teetering on losing their balance and falling into the abyss.
Ah.
And he sent you to speak the words of truth and love and bring them back.
And you do. You did and you do.
I did and I do, and you all did and do.
We all did
all right?
and do.
So you're talking about doing, we have to do the thing we hate to do, which is to
say
goodbye.
Goodnight. Oh,
yeah,
goodbye.
Say goodnight.
Goodbye, everybody. God bless you all. Be safe, be healthy, be happy, be in Christ.
Amen. Amen. And please know we love you.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.